You ever see a problem dog? It's that dog that just keeps showing up. Well, David had that with Saul. I mean, every time when you look at the Bible, the moment that you think Saul gets it, King Saul gets it, he doesn't. It doesn't take long for him to be jealous again. Doesn't take long for him to want vengeance on David again. And so you see him pursuing him. And we come all the way to the 26th chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. And once again, the problem dog rises and attacks. And God is going to protect. God is going to protect David. And even David, when he's been tempted to do something against Saul, he holds back. He doesn't do it. And it's just great to watch. And you see David having an opportunity again to do something to Saul, and he doesn't. And so we come to the middle of the story here. We see in verse 17 of 1 Samuel chapter 26, it says, Saul recognized David's voice and said, "Is this your voice, my son David?" And David said, "It is my voice, my lord, O king." He said, "Why does my lord pursue after his servant? For what have I done? What evil is on my hands? Now therefore, let my lord, the king, hear the words of his servant. If it is the Lord who has stirred you up against me, may he accept an offering. But if it is men, may they be cursed before the Lord. For they have driven me out this day, that I should have no share in the heritage of the Lord, saying, 'Go serve other gods.' Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth away from the presence of the Lord. For the king of Israel has come out to seek a single flea like one who hunts a partridge in the mountains." Then Saul said, "I have sinned. Return, my son David, for I will no more do you harm, because my life was precious in your eyes this day. Behold, I have acted foolishly and have made a mistake." And David answered and said, "Here is the spear, O king. Let one of the young men come over and take it." And you see David, he's like, okay, I get it. I've got the spear that I could have done something with, but I didn't. But he doesn't walk over to him. He says, "Have a guy come over and get it, and then it's yours." So there's still an element of, I hear what you're saying, Saul, but your words only mean so much. I can't trust because I've seen your actions over and over and over again. There's a story told about after 40 years on the African mission field, a guy named Morrison, Henry Morrison, returned home by boat. On the same boat, returning from one of his big game hunts in Africa, was T.R., Teddy Roosevelt. So they docked in New York. President Roosevelt received this great response from the crowd. Bands were playing, crowds were excitedly trying to get a glimpse of the famous president, and reporters were there to take down his every word. No one was there to meet Mr. Morrison and his wife. As he left the docks, he felt completely dejected. After all, Morrison thought, "I should get some recognition for 40 years in the Lord's service." It was then that his wife reminded him, "But Henry, you're not home yet." See, David knew that God was going to repay every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness. And that realization stopped David from killing Saul when he had had the chance. He could have taken advantage of Saul's helplessness, but instead he did what was right. David chose the way of righteousness and faithfulness. So you can be sure that God is not indebted to man. When we walk in righteousness and faithfulness, we can be sure that God will repay. It may happen on earth, but most certainly our greatest rewards will be when we get to heaven. We seek to do what is right in God's sight and to serve Him faithfully whenever or wherever He calls us. We can safely leave the rewards to Him. God's never going to disappoint us. So if today you're discouraged by a lack of appreciation or a lack of recognition, remember that God is the one who repays for faithfulness and righteousness. Even if God waits till you get to heaven, you can be confident that someday will be your payday. So remember that. You aren't home yet. God will have a payday for you someday. You see, some may think rewards are not spiritual. Rewards from God's perspective are not a matter of greed, but of trust. There's a promise in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and it says this, "And without faith it is impossible to please God, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him." So how does God's confidence, or how does confidence in God's promises shape your outlook on life? And when there's a lack of recognition or appreciation, how do you react? So what are the two things that are the basis for pleasing God and being rewarded by Him? Doing what is right in God's sight, and then serving Him faithfully. So righteousness and faithfulness. Why don't you right now thank the Lord that He sees and He's the one who rewards. He can be trusted that He will do what is best for you.